This is KMXT Kodiak 100.1 FM. We also stream live on our website, which is kmxt.org. Good afternoon, I'm Maggie Wall. Quick look at the weather. Today, sunny, high near 36. Tonight, mostly clear, low around 22. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 38. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low around 30. Saturday, sunny, high near 40. Sunday, mostly sunny, high near 40. A quick announcement here. Public Works will be closing, and I see that they have closed Upper Erskine to Mill Bay Road from Upper Erskine to East Rezanoff for water repairs. That'll be going on from 8 o'clock till 5 o'clock this afternoon. And that's the road that runs alongside the Borough Building. But if you go past, if you're coming in from Rezanoff, if you go past that and then take a turn at the dentist office there, that'll bring you up to Upper Mill Bay, and you can come into the Borough Building. Or going the other direction, you take a left. You'll see where they're working and the sign is, and you take a quick left right there, and that road will take you down to Rezanoff. In local news, concerns over the coronavirus has prompted the rescheduling of Alaska's longest-running fisheries trade show. The 41st annual Comfish Alaska, hosted by the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce, will be held in mid-September instead of later this month. I spoke with Chamber Executive Director Sarah Phillips last night about the change in dates.
So Maggie, as you know, Comfish 2020 has not been canceled. It is rescheduled for September 17th through the 19th. Naturally, we're going to have all the same things that we've been looking forward to this year: the fisheries-themed fashion show, the rockfish taco feed, the presenters, the forums, all of our exhibitors. We're still going to have all of that that we were planning for March. We're still going to have that in September, so everyone can still look forward to the same great show.
What was the date?
September 17th through the 19th. And the reason we arrived at that date was the Comfish committee got together and said, okay, what are the fishing seasons we want to make sure we avoid? Because obviously it doesn't make sense to have Comfish Alaska in the middle of a fishing season. So we suspect that the salmon fishing season will be over by then, and we won't have any other seasons that have started. Then naturally, we also have to make sure that our venues are still available, our staff is still available, and then we actually have decorations shipped over from mainland Alaska, and we had to make sure that those were all going to be available. So a lot of moving parts that all came together early this afternoon.
Speaking of shipping, one of your concerns was you wanted to make the decision in time for the exhibitors to not ship their things ahead. They don't just suddenly show up here. They have to make plans in advance to get their belongings here.
That's exactly right. So much planning goes into Comfish Alaska. So today, really by Friday, is when I had set the deadline in my head that I had to let all of my exhibitors know who are shipping engines over and pallets of products and merchandise and goods. They all start shipping those things very, very early. And so the way that shipping schedules work, we needed to be able to notify them as early as possible. And so today happened to be that day.
And what was the tipping point? We had talked to you on Talk of the Rock on Tuesday, which was Tuesday, just yesterday as we're speaking.
Right.
We're speaking on Wednesday evening. You had mentioned then that that was a possibility, and you were just going to kind of take it as it went. What changed?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. So really the biggest change is that Governor Dunleavy, as you know, declared a state of emergency today, Wednesday, and that is a huge, you know, concern for us. We obviously want to be able to take care of our residents here in Kodiak and not subject anyone to unnecessary travel or difficult choices that's coming from the mainland or the lower 48. The other concern that came out today was the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 as a pandemic. Now, obviously, when those two things are announced in conjunction with each other, anyone planning a large-scale event like this has to do a little bit of a double take. And so just out of an abundance of caution And knowing that we can still reproduce this show with amazing results in September, we decided to go ahead and move forward with rescheduling.
That sounds good. Thank you for letting us know, and thank you for calling in. So September 17th through 19th will be Comfish.
That's right.
And that was Chamber Executive Director Sarah Phillips. She called us last night to tell us about the decision to reschedule Comfish 2020 to September 17th through 19th. Phillips said she was busy calling exhibitors yesterday and last night to let them know of the change in dates. She says the decision was well received by those that she spoke with. The Kodiak City Council meets tonight with two public hearings on the agenda. One deals with collecting sales tax online, the other edible marijuana. The first public hearing is an ordinance that moves the city closer to collecting sales tax on online sales. That means if you stock up using Amazon instead of a local retailer, you would still have to pay the city 7% sales tax. Even if approved tonight, there's still a long ways to go before online taxing becomes a reality. The city must jump through a lot of hoops, and there's a lot of legal stuff to happen. But basically, a group of Alaska communities are banding together to establish one entity to collect the tax. The money would then be distributed to each participating town. The ordinance being considered tonight would adopt the Alaska Remote Seller Sales Tax Code, a big step toward collecting online taxes. The other public hearing is an ordinance that authorizes the sale of marijuana edibles within city limits. The sale of edibles has been controversial, even after the city authorized the sale of pot. One reason that is often cited is the fear that children would think it was candy and ingest it. In fact, Councilmember John Whitten expressed those concerns at the last council meeting. He suggested that if the measure goes into effect, that the city consider a public awareness program targeting at children to teach them to avoid the generally colorful edibles. A quick announcement and then statewide news.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
The state of Alaska put out a request this week seeking, quote, information from interested parties for providing housing units that are quarantined to allow for monitoring for COVID-19, unquote. The request says the state is interested in motel rooms, apartments, trailers, or other suitable dwellings. The units must allow the general public to avoid interaction with those being quarantined. The request says apartments or hotels may not be suitable if people can come in contact with others, like if there is a common hallway, for an example. Outside of Alaska, many communities with large number of coronavirus patients have repurposed buildings to provide temporary housing. King County in Washington, which is a center of the West Coast outbreak, is in the process of purchasing an Econolodge in the suburban community of Kent to house patients. That plan has been controversial with neighbors. The state's chief medical officer, Ann Zink, says the housing wouldn't necessarily be in one place. She says it could be used in a variety of ways to curb the coronavirus outbreak, including for people who are homeless, people who need to disembark from cruise ships, people who can't be isolated in their homes, or people traveling through the state for some other reason. Governor Mike Dunleavy says the state is assessing all potential resources. On the same day that Governor Mike Dunleavy signed an emergency disaster declaration in order to free up resources to help the state prepare for coronavirus, the Alaska legislature voted to approve more than $4 million in state funding to respond to coronavirus, and that was yesterday. The legislature spread up the normal budget process for the emergency funds, passing the money 9 days after Dunleavy said he would ask for it. Senate President Kathy Geisel has this comment.
Well, what you see today is the legislature, the Senate leading the way to act nimbly to provide the funding that our healthcare professionals need.
The legislature also voted to authorize the state to receive $9 million in federal money to respond to the virus and reduce the risk of an outbreak. The money includes funds for public health nurses, infectious disease specialists, an emergency management specialist, and a microbiologist. The Senate Finance Committee added the money to a mental health budget bill that was already making its way through the legislature. Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman said this helped speed up the process.
Well, today you could see that the legislature can take pretty fast action when we need to. And clearly with the impact of this virus in Washington State and its proximity to Alaska, we need to respond and be ready quickly.
All senators present voted for the funding. That was 19 that were present. Anchorage Senator Mia Costello was absent. In other news, a federal judge has ruled in favor of green groups challenging the largest Tongass timber sale in decades. U.S. District Judge Sharon L. Gleason's Wednesday decision keeps in place her injunction blocking the first phase of a 15-year plan to open up more than 23,000 acres on Prince of Wales Island to old-growth logging. Oral arguments last month pitted the U.S. Justice Department versus Juneau-based Earth Justice attorneys. Government lawyers argued the project is needed to sustain the local timber industry. But the environmentalist lawsuit alleged the Forest Service didn't offer site-specific information on where logging would occur. The judge agreed in her 50-page decision. Earth Justice attorney Tom Waldo in Juneau argued the case.
It's the biggest timber sale the Forest Service has approved in any national forest in the last 30 years. They tried to shortcut the whole process by not saying where the trees would actually be cut, and the court held that that violated multiple laws.
But the judge stopped short of completely throwing out the project, allowing the Forest Service to file an additional brief. That's because the Forest Service argued cutting off the timber supply would harm business in the region. Messages left with the U.S. Forest Service and Alaska Forest Association were not immediately returned. Again, the road up here near the Borough Building is closed. Upper Mill Bay is closed from Erskine to Rezanov for water repairs. And they were repairing that when I came in a little while ago. So what you need to do is use the Upper Erskine Access Road. Coming up tomorrow in the Alaska Fisheries Report, Gulf of Alaska cod loses its sustainability certification. The loss of that blue sticker is not because of poor management, rather it's warm waters, which means smaller fish and fewer young cod in the fisheries. Also an update on the blob, the more recent version of the blob, which biologists say may be subsiding, and a look back at the career of a general manager of the regional hatchery in Southeast Alaska who is retiring after 40 years at the nonprofit. That'll be coming up on this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. I have not posted it to the website yet, but I'll do that this afternoon. And you can hear it here at KMXT tomorrow at 5:20, which is during our evening news, and then on Saturday at 12:15 during the midday news on Saturday. Up next, we have Fish Radio.
Support for KMXT's Midday Report is provided by Artinger's Fine Furnishings, featuring children's clothing from the Tea Collection, home spa items from Crabtree and Evelyn, and leather handbags by Dooney and Burke. Special orders of the Tea Collection clothing in your child's size always welcome at Artinger's. 486-5554.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Halibut is set to open amid market headwinds. More fishing updates after this.
The Alaska Marine Safety Education Association is offering marine safety instructor training in Seward, April 20th to 25th. Learn more at amc.org.
March marks the start of halibut and herring fisheries, but there's not a lot of good news this go around. The Pacific halibut fishery is set to open on March 14th amid a grim market outlook due in part to the coronavirus. Most of Alaska's 17 million pound catch goes to markets in the U.S., but transportation by flight is getting more sketchy, and many stores and restaurants are devoid of customers. In southeast Alaska, no ferries means no fish shipments in several regions, and some companies are just not buying. Sablefish also starts on the 14th, and that market also remains poor, with lots of backlog of small fish in the freezers and a boosted catch quota. Meanwhile, Sitka Sound's roe herring fishery is not likely to occur this month due to small fish and no markets. Just over 10,000 tons of herring spawn on kelp can be taken from pound fisheries near Craig and Kluwak. The winter troll fishery for Chinook salmon will close in all waters of southeast on March 15th. Despite some downers, lots of good fishing is going on across Alaska. Boats are targeting black rockfish in southeast, Kodiak, Chignik, the Alaska Peninsula, and along the Aleutians. Ling cod also is open in southeast, and some areas remain open for golden king crab and tanner crab. A tanner fishery opened in Prince William Sound on March 2nd. The snow crab fishery in the Bering Sea has yielded about 70% of its 34 million pound quota. A Red King crab fishery at Norton Sound opened on February 29th, but no one showed up due to no buyers. Fishing for pollock, cod, mackerel, perch, flounders, and other whitefish continues in the Gulf of Alaska and Bering Sea. Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon, I'm Maggie Wall. Today is Thursday, a very sunny day. Right now the temperature at Signal Hill is 32. Out at the airport it was much cooler just a few moments ago. Refresh it, and we've gained a couple of degrees at the airport. It is 30 degrees there, fair skies. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 22. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 38. Tomorrow night, cloudy with a low around 30. Looking first at personal messages, we do have someone looking for a place to live. A cabin or a small home is needed. It wants to buy. This person does. A place for a one person and a dog, a cabin, a pan abode, accessory dwelling, whatever. Needs to have good foundation, roof, and walls. The rest is negotiable, and this person is loan approved. For information, you can contact Patrick at seattleu.edu, seattleu.edu. And phone number is 654-4486, 654-4486. Looking at the almanac for today, it is Thursday, the 12th day of March, 2020. Sun came up this morning at 8:32, set tonight at 8:08. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 8:29. That gives us 11 hours and 36 minutes of daylight, which is a gain of 5 minutes even. Looking at the marine forecast, starting with the synopsis, an elongated 1,029 millibar low 70 nautical miles southwest of Yakutat is moving into the southern Gulf and will dissipate by this morning, rather by this evening, and a 1,048 millibar ridge of high pressure is settling over the Gulf. And that will take place by Friday morning through Saturday in that time frame. Looking at the local waters, Chuniak Bay. Today we have northwest winds 20 knots, seas 4 feet, freezing spray. Tonight, north winds 15 knots in the evening, becoming variable less than 10 knots, seas 3 feet. Friday, south winds 10 knots, seas 2 feet. Friday night, south winds 10 knots and seas 2 feet. Looking at the tides, we had a low tide shortly before 11 o'clock, so a high tide in the Kodiak District will be at 4:51, 8.74 feet. Low tide will be at 10:52, minus 0.22 feet. The Saldovia District low tide was at 11:18, so the next one up is a high tide at 5:24, 16.67 feet. And low tide for the Saldovia District is at 11:31 this evening at minus 1.47 feet. Looking at a couple of announcements, I'll just skim through this one because we have posted this on the website. The Emergency Services Director is urging residents to be informed about coronavirus and the disease COVID-19. The Kodiak Emergency Services Organization is sending out updates, and we will be posting them on the website as we get them. So update number 3 is on the website. I put that up last night. And you can go to kmxt.org, or you can get to it through our Facebook page or Twitter page. As of yesterday, and we've not heard anything to contradict it, there are no confirmed or suspected cases of COVID-19 in the state of Alaska. As a reminder, the best defense is proper hygiene. People who are sick or have family members who are sick with concern should first call public health at 211 or the Providence Nurse Hotline, and that number is on our website. They continue to recommend the vaccine for flu, even though COVID-19 is not a flu, and they will be administering it free of charge to anyone who wants it at the public health center. The emergency organization is working daily with federal, state, and local partners and the Center for Disease Control. And they are asking residents to refrain from purchasing an item that you or your family may need and not buying a zillion of things. It says here, we are a resilient community with a reputation for coming together in times of need. That is a for sure. We've seen that again and again. City water supply has no problem, and they suggest you not feel the need to stock up on lots of plastic bottles full of water. They urge the public to remain calm, stay informed with reliable news sources, and keep posted on what's going on. You can go to cdc.gov, which is where the federal government is posting information, the Center for Disease Control. And as I said, we have a copy of this bulletin on our website, kmxt.org. Kodiak Island Borough School District will be observing early release schedule for all schools today. They did yesterday as well. This closure will be for staff planning and training to prepare for the seamless continuation of instruction in the event of a school closure due to COVID-19. If you want more information, you can talk to Bianca Clark, 486-7566. 486-7566. Due to the state issuing public health disaster emergency declaration for COVID-19, the Senior Center is suspending all activities at the center until further notice. These include yoga, tai chi, games, bridge, whippersnappers, etc. The Senior Center will also be assessing the congregate meals, Island Cove Adult Daycare, and the delivery of meals after they receive guidance from the State Department of Health and Social Services. For more information, you can contact the Senior Center at 486-6181. And that just about does it in terms of time. There is a City Council meeting tonight, and that starts at 7:30. We are broadcasting it live, so stay tuned for that. And there's also, I believe, an assembly work session, yes, tonight at 6:30 in the school district conference room. So that brings us up to date on news, weather, and local information.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 3 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, You can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.